Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Tuesday, 24th of December. November, should we say, 2020 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. A background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. No new cases of C19. That's one in hospital, seven in non-community isolation. The Education Minister hopes the unions will fall in line with the NAHT. Port St Mary says, save our post office. The Treasury Minister talks about income benefits and poverty. And is this the toughest time for our students living away?
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Alex Watton.
Fastamai, plans for the new secondary school at Castle Rushen are to be revamped if necessary to allow for greater demand. Housing developments in the area, as well as demographic changes in the south, may mean another look is required at the current proposals. The Infrastructure Minister says it will cost government a significant sum to back Logan Air's flights to Heathrow. The airline announced services would operate from the island to the UK capital from December until the end of March next year. Fares start at £70 one way, with flights on a 49-seater jet available 7 days a week. And the Health Minister David Ashford has paid tribute to former Malu Commissioner David McWilliams. He died from COVID-19 at a hospital in the northwest of England where he was being treated for another condition. And further afield, ministers of the devolved administrations are meeting with Michael Gove to decide how families can reunite this Christmas. They are hoping for a four-nation approach, which could see a relaxation in travel restrictions between the 23rd and 27th of December. Nearly 11,300 people have tested positive for coronavirus in the UK, a fall of over 4,000 since Monday. Figures show another 608 people have died with COVID-19 in the latest 24-hour period. And Rishi Sunak will promise a multi-billion pound package to help thousands of people back into work as he prepares to unveil his first spending review. The UK Chancellor says his number one priority is to protect livelihoods. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham, expert legal professionals, assisting individuals and businesses worldwide. Man Benham, here for you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Alex. And before we get to the weather, by the way, I must just say happy birthday to Manx Radio. 56 years ago today, Manx Radio was officially opened on the 24th of November, 1964. Happy birthday to us. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, there's a gale warning in the North Irish Sea. Any rain will die out as the strong to gale force wind on the island. It's from the south. It will veer west and east down to 7 degrees through the night. For Wednesday, Ukraine dry with sunny spells and moderate to fresh west-northwesterly. Daytime maximum 9 degrees. It'll be dry overnight Wednesday into Thursday, the minimum temperature 5. And Thursday, Jordan, frosty to kick off with, then dry and bright, top temperature 9 Celsius. High water 24 minutes past 7 tonight. The overnight low tide 16 minutes past 2. Sunrise tomorrow morning at 5 past 8. High water 22 minutes past 8. Low water Wednesday afternoon 27 minutes past 2. And 4 weeks this coming Friday, it's Christmas Day.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
The Education Minister hopes other teaching unions will follow the NAHT after its members voted to support a new pay offer. The details with Ewan Gawn.
In a ballot held this week, those in the Head Teachers Union voted to support the deal, which addresses historic pay and other issues. The NAHT also stopped its industrial action short of strike, with some calling it a significant step towards ending the year-long dispute with government. Dr. Alex Allenson has now called on the three other bodies involved in the dispute to join in constructive consultation with his department. It's not yet known if ASCL or the NEU have responded to the proposed deal. The NASUWT, the largest union, is still consulting members. Dr. Allinson has thanked the NHT for its positive engagement and hopes issues which have concerned pupils, parents and members can now be addressed. The deal itself seeks to address historic issues of pay parity with the UK and includes a commitment to work more closely with teachers on developing education policy. It also includes what's called a reopener clause to review wages on the island when changes are made to the profession in the UK. Government has been unwilling to share the exact details of the proposal until agreement is reached with all of the unions. The breakthrough comes amid a recruitment crisis in education, with some teachers choosing to leave the island due to COVID travel restrictions, pupil behaviour and the pay dispute.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
24 minutes to 6 on Manx Radio. Save our post office. The resounding message from a packed Port St Mary town hall last night. The village commissioners held a public meeting to discuss the future of the local post office as the current sub-postmaster is retiring. There were more than 100 residents there, and afterwards Manx Radio's Alex Watton asked one attendee for his response to what he'd heard.
I think it's clear that the effective decisions have been made by the post office board. It doesn't matter how many meetings we have, I don't think minds are going to be changed.
Ewan Watterson, member of the House of Keys for Rushen. I really feel that Port St Mary has been sold a pop here. It's very much the latest nail in the coffin of the post office's branch elimination strategy, and the post office has made a decision not to go out and advertise for a sub-post office. It's presented one option to local representatives, and it's a take-it-or-leave-it option. It's just not acceptable.
Julie Edge, Chair of Alamon Post Office. We're here to listen to the public and to listen to their views. We're in a consultation process, so we have a duty to do that.
A lot of people say that you haven't been listening and you've actually given them one option rather than a number of options. So how can you reassure people that you are actually listening?
Well, we have to go out with a proposal. We can't just say we're going out to consultation on what. So you have to have a proposal so you can go out to consultation. So that's the process we're in at the present time.
But couldn't that have had options?
What comes to the board eventually will be options of the services with all the statistics and facts, because we do actually have a really good system that records how many transactions there are, and we do know that transactions are falling throughout the network, not just in Port St Mary.
It's more than just transactions though, isn't it? It's the community. That's what we've heard a lot about tonight. It's about the community.
It is, and Alamon Post Office have a responsibility for postal services in communities.
Michelle Hayward, I'm Chair of Port St Mary Commissioners. We recognise that the post office is more than the stamps and the parcels. It's about that bigger impact on our community, and Port St Mary is a very passionate community, it's a very close community, and we value that continuity of services. If the post office were genuine about going out for another service, the consultation would have happened earlier in the resignation process, so it would have been 2 months ago, 3 months ago we were having these discussions, not now.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Bamber crew left Heysham at 2:10 this afternoon. She'll be into Douglas Bay in the next 5 minutes or so and into harbour at about 5 to 6. She'll be leaving at 7:45 this evening, arriving in Heysham at 11:30 and leaving at 2:40, 2:40 a.m. tomorrow morning, arriving about 6:25 tomorrow morning from Heysham.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
A quick note, if you're posting for Christmas this coming Thursday, the day after tomorrow is the last posting date for airmail to static British Forces post offices for world destinations, including parts of Europe. That's the last posting date for Christmas for airmail to static BFPOs. There was an extraordinary meeting of and sitting of Tynwald this afternoon. Tim Glover was there.
Here at Tynwald, the sitting didn't even last 25 minutes. So why the fuss? Well, more political than actually what it was being discussed. Last week, at very short notice, a whole host of Brexit-related regulations came before the court. They didn't have time to wade through over 300 pages explaining what the changes were, all to do with the agriculture and fisheries regulations, in some cases as simple as changing a reference to EU to UK all ahead of the transition period coming to an end at the end of this year. Last week, they didn't feel they'd had the notice to look at this in detail. In fact, this week, the minister, Geoffrey Boot, apologised for the lack of notice period. Last week's vote, well, that went with all the council and ministers and the department members for DEFA voting for the legislation, but against was the rest of the House of Keys, and it fell 11-all this week, unanimously through in both the House of Keys and in the Legislative Council. So it wasn't really about the subject matter, it was about the lack of notice, show members a bit more respect, politics came into play, and a shot across the bows, maybe, of the Council of Ministers.
Manx Radio's business briefing.
Listed companies in Germany aren't happy. They'll be required to have at least one woman on management boards that have more than three members. The German government's decided to set a mandatory quota for women in executive positions after voluntary commitments to gender equality fail to bring meaningful change. Women take up 12.8% of leadership roles in German blue-chip firms, according to a recent survey, compared with 28.6 in America, 24.9 in Sweden, 24.5 in the UK and 22.2 in France. German business groups criticising the move call it unnecessary and interfering in private companies. Watch out, millennials, Generation Z. Gen Z is rising up to reshape the economy. The younger generations quietly come of age while their older peers were in the spotlight, while Gen Z poised to overtake millennials in income by 2031, according to a new report from the Bank of America. They're emerging as a powerful economic force, compelling other generations to adapt to them, not vice versa, according to the experts. Gen Z's preferences and priorities will likely benefit sectors including e-commerce, media, and ESG, that's environmental, social, and corporate governance, while areas including alcohol, meat, and cars may suffer from the shift in influence to Gen Z.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher amid growing optimism that another effective C-19 vaccine has been discovered. The US dollar fell, Brent crude prices moved higher, and gold fell as progress on that C-19 vaccine and hopes for a quicker transition in the White House drove it a shift to riskier assets. In corporate news, JD Sports lost ground following reports it's in exclusive talks to take over Debenhams. And the numbers now at the close in London, the FTSE 100 up 1.5% at 6,432. The DAX in Frankfurt up 1.25% at 13,292 at the close. And at 5 o'clock, still going strong in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial up 1.5% at 30,028. And the NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up 1% at 12,002. In Chicago, the S&P 500 up 1.5% at 3,629. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 US 33.4 cents and €1 12.4 cents and 20 South African rand and 31.9 cents. Finally, in commodities, gold down 1.8% at $1,803 per troy ounce and a barrel of Brent crude up almost 5%. Almost 4.75% at $47.71.
The Stock Market Report was brought to you by Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist. Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
The Treasury Ministers face questions about income benefits from a Tyndall committee looking into poverty on the Isle of Man. So is the current system working, and how do you combat an issue you find hard to even define? After the hearing, Lewis Foster spoke to the Treasury Minister, Alfred Cannon.
I think the critical thing is to understand that when you're looking at issues like poverty, it's not just one single element of government or one strand of government that provides solutions here. It's multifaceted. And you have to look across. It's not just the social security system, but you also have to look across what are the anti-poverty themes that government employs to try and help people or prevent people from falling into this trap. So what themes that we've got, particularly around job creations, economic productivity, investing in education, supporting the health service, for example. So, you know, all these elements all come together to successfully dealing with poverty. And I think, I'm sure the Poverty Committee will have a view on that once they've finished the round of interviews that they're doing.
You said at the start of the committee that it's hard to actually define what poverty is on the island. Is that a matter of semantics, or is that actually quite a large hurdle to overcome?
Well, I think it is for anybody. There are different definitions for what poverty is and looks like. But for us, we rely on the benefit system to assist people as much as practically possible, particularly if they've fallen into hard times or living in a unit or a family unit that is struggling to survive. That's why we have a range of benefits that we apply under the welfare state system, benefits ranging for those from working parents, benefits for unemployed, benefits for disabled, and other benefits, particularly obviously for pensioners. And I think the system that we've got at the moment is probably as well suited as it can be. There's obviously room for improvement in anything, and I think and I hope that the Poverty Committee will be able to take a view and potentially help government and shape its thinking in this area.
Manx Radio Sport.
14 minutes before six, faster by Tim Glover.
700 Racing says it's saddened to hear of the death of Fred Adlam, who passed away on Sunday. Fred was a familiar face around the Belown course for some 30 years and a director of the club from 1991 to 2000. During his association with the race meetings at Belown, Fred has enjoyed numerous positions and a big variety as well. He was a deputy clerk of the works, a steward, a member of the team of timekeepers, and recently looked after guests at the start and finish area until the very last meeting in 2019. The club says all involved want to pass on their sincere condolences to Fred's wife Liz, close family and friends at what they say is an incredibly sad time. Further afield, and Chelsea could qualify for the knockout stages of the Champions League with a win against Rennes in France this evening. Frank Lampard's side go into the match on top of Group E. After that, Manchester United look to avenge their shock Group H defeat. That was against Istanbul Başakşehir when they meet again at Old Trafford. United lost 2-1 against the same opponents in Turkey last month. And Derby County have appointed former boss Steve McLaren as their new technical director. The ex-England manager has returned to Pride Park following an agreement between owner Mel Morris and Deventio Holdings, who are expected to complete a takeover of the Championship club. McLaren had two spells in charge of Derby between 2013 and 2017.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Two departures, two arrivals at Ronald's Way. The 4:30 to London City left 8 minutes late, and the 10:05 left just over 10 minutes late. They're back this evening from Liverpool at 6:40, and from Docklands, London City at 8:00. On the roads, the Matrix signs from Hillbury, the Garrow, Sulby and Ramsey to the Mantid, all showing fog. So take care if you're heading over the top tonight. Either way, fog on the mountain. 24-hour light at Captain's Hill in Laxey for resurfacing work. And also there's 24-hour light roll on in Quarterbridge Road, Douglas, till the 18th of December now. Been extended for drainage and curbing work. King Edward Road in Onchan, there's 24-hour lights there for railway work as well. Remember, this Thursday, the big day. Broadway reopens on Thursday, turning northbound from Douglas Promenade onto Broadway, heading up Victoria Road and up to the traffic lights. That's Thursday. Broadway reopens, turning northbound only from the prom. All the information you need is at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Quayside. Quayside, 664417.
Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside.
It's never been easy being a student living away from home, but these are tougher times than usual. First time away from your family, and if you're worried about costs, well, in the House of Keys today, the Education, Sport and Culture Minister, Dr. Alex Allinson, spelled out the help given to those young people at the 75 universities used by Manx students.
The way the education service supports them consists of contributions towards course tuition fees and sometimes living costs. in respect of university tuition costs, fees for the typical undergraduate course are £9,250 per academic year. Our education service is able to support eligible students up to a maximum of £6,750 towards their course fee costs, with the remaining costs able to be covered by a student loan offered by the department of £2,500. For living costs, a means-tested maintenance grant of a maximum of £7,500 per academic year or £8,000 for the London area is available to eligible students as a government contribution towards accommodation and other living expenses such as food, materials and travel. It's estimated that the average annual accommodation cost for a student is approximately £4,900, although costs will differ according to the type of accommodation and the area in which the student lives while attending university. Most rents include bills of some kind, although we estimate that one third of students will be required to pay additional charges on top of their rent. Our students are talented and resilient, but when they leave the island to study, they have the obvious initial challenge of continuing to work hard to reach their potential in their chosen course. They will also have the challenge of needing to adapt to new surroundings and a new lifestyle whilst away from home, sometimes for the first time. These are difficult enough challenges in any ordinary year, but the continuing COVID-19 health emergency may present additional challenges for students, including adapting to remote learning and other necessary adjustments as coronavirus disruption continues to be felt across the United Kingdom and Ireland of Ireland. In terms of support, all of our students will have access to their institution's student support services, as well as pastoral care wherever they are studying.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
9 minutes to six. While less travelling and more virtual contacts regarded as the future, in planning terms, enabling an inspector get his or her boots muddy on the site in question is the best solution. That's becoming clearer as Manx planning appeals come to a grinding halt waiting for COVID-restricted UK planning inspectors to make it to the Isle of Man. But the Environment Minister, Geoffrey Boot, MHK, says an answer may shortly be with us.
On the 2nd of December, it may well resolve itself when they are allowed to travel again and so attend the island. The second solution is a virtual solution, i.e. We take videos or even in real time. We have people going around and relaying that to the inspector, but that also relies on the inspectors being satisfied that they are seeing the real picture, as it were, and they are making a determination on the fact rather than just the interpretation of the person taking the video.
How is this holding up planning appeals?
Well, at the moment, all the appeal hearings that were in process that required an inspector to come to the island have come to a grinding halt. So it's holding things up quite dramatically. There's not a lot, but there are a number that have just stopped. They're dead in the water until we come up with a solution. All the inspectors are allowed to come to the island again.
Aren't we taking quite a long time to come up with a virtual solution?
Well, it's not as easy as it seems. When you have a virtual hearing, that's easy. The people interact and talk. But when you're looking at interpretation of the site, it's quite important that the inspector is content.
Gets their boots muddy, gets in there.
Yeah, well, you go and look at the site, you know, look at it from all angles. If someone else does that for you, they're not necessarily looking at the things that you want to look at. So it's not quite as easy as it seems, although I do believe that going forward we will be able to come up with a solution. If we can get the inspectors here, that is by far the best solution. They carry out the inspection, they know what they're looking at, and when they write the report, they've seen the site, which is, I think, important.
We said goodbye to a well-known name today, the former Maloo Commissioner and regular caller to the Man in Line. David McWilliams has died from COVID-19. He contracted the virus while being treated for another condition in the northwest of England. Tim Glover's been talking to the Health Minister, David Ashford.
Yes, some very sad news, Tim. I knew David. As you would imagine, he was in touch with me quite a bit as an MHK and Minister for Health, and even my days when I was on Douglas Council, and he was a frequent contributor to things like the Man in Line and Sunday Opinion when I appeared as well. So it really is very tragic news.
We've had a few cases now, haven't we, where people have gone across for treatments and have come back or are being treated still across. Do you know roughly how many at all out of the total numbers, and are we seeing a decline in people going away to be treated?
Off the top of my head, I think now it's about 8 patients in total, if you include tragically David as well in those figures that have contracted COVID. We do have to emphasise that it is still low as a percentage, and of course, you know, it doesn't make it any better for David and his family, but so far he is the you know it's very rare that there's actually a fatality.
And the advice has been that you basically go and have your treatment and you come back and you do not go anywhere else.
Yeah, it is. But the important thing to stress is, I mean, you know, there's nothing saying that either David or the other person, unfortunately, who also died, who was a patient transfer, had done anything wrong. They applied the rules, but I do need to stress that this doesn't mean that it's unsafe and people should be reconsidering their medical treatment. Across, it is important people still do go, because in some cases it would actually be more detrimental for them not to go. But my thoughts go out to David's family, just as it did to the other patient transfer person who came back, who tragically passed away as well.
And on a personal level, let me just say I'll miss David McWilliams and his astringent wit and his comments on The Man in Line. That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Alex Watton, producer Ewan Gorn. I'm Andy Wint, and Update is back Wednesday evening at 5:30. It's available as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker and Spotify. All the details at manxradio.com. And remember to like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. Stick around. It's Bob Into Buildings next with Bob Harrison, George Ferguson at 6:30 with the greatest hits on earth, and the folk show with Big John Kinnean at 9 o'clock. WINT